chapter 2. Great privilege to stand before you this morning and share the Word of God. Our worship continues. Galatians chapter 2. Let's begin with verse 15. Galatians 2, 15. The Apostle Paul says, "We who are Jews by nature and not sinners of the Gentiles, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Christ Jesus, that we might be justified by faith in Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law no flesh shall be justified. But if while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves also were found sinners, is Christ therefore a minister of sin? Certainly not. For if I build again those things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. For I, through the law, died to the law that I might live to God. I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness comes through the law, then Christ died in vain." Let's bow our heads right now, and let's ask God's help and God's blessing as we look at this passage this morning. Father, thank you for the great privilege of worship, and our hearts have been turned to you this morning through Scripture, through music, through the opportunity to give. And God, now, your word is before us. Father, our simple request is that you, by your Spirit that dwells within us, would take this word and draw us nearer to you. Help us to see you, to behold your glory in this passage of Scripture this morning, and thereby, by the Spirit, be changed. We thank you for your faithfulness in doing this work on our behalf. We thank you for Jesus. May our focus continue to be Him as we look at His great work for us at Calvary. To you be glory and honor and praise. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. When Peter and Barnabas and the rest of the Jews in Antioch refused to eat with the Gentile Christians because they weren't keeping the Jewish dietary laws, Paul rebuked Peter. That's what we saw in our passage last week. Paul rebuked Peter. And Paul essentially told Peter that he was trying to compel the Gentile Christians to keep the Jewish law as a means of full acceptance to God. This action by Peter and Barnabas and the other Jews was out of step with the gospel. In effect, Paul was saying to them, "Peter, I'm rebuking you because you are violating the foundation of true Christianity. By your actions toward these Gentile Christians, you are embracing a works righteousness, a system of legalism that is contrary to the grace of God through Jesus Christ." And brothers and sisters, don't think that this works righteousness or this legalism is limited to the first century, because we face it today and we have to be on guard. You see, any work or any keeping of law that is added to faith in Jesus Christ is false. It's not the gospel. It's a perversion of the gospel. And I realize that I've made this statement throughout this series, but yet this is Paul's point. This is what he's talking about in this letter to the Galatians. Today, let's continue to look at this passage because Paul continues his defense of the gospel. And we'll divide the passage into two parts. First of all, Paul states the truth of justification by faith in Jesus Christ. And second, Paul explains the truth of justification by faith in Jesus Christ. Now, the Galatians needed this. They needed these reminders. And brothers and sisters, we also need these reminders. Let's look now at the first part of this passage. Paul states the truth of justification by faith. Let's begin with verse 15. Paul says, "We who were Jews by nature and not sinners of the Gentiles, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Christ Jesus that we might be justified by faith in Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law, no flesh shall be justified." I want you to notice in these verses that Paul uses the word "we" several times. Do you see that? He talks about "we." When he says "we," he refers to himself, to Paul, Peter, Barnabas, and all the other Jewish Christians. So notice now in this first statement in verse 15 that Paul connects himself with all the other Jews. He even says this. He says, "We who are Jews by nature." It means that they were born Jews. They are the descendants of Abraham. They are of the family of Jacob. And then what I want you to see in this first statement, verse 15, that he makes a distinction between the Jewish people and the Gentile people. Look what he says, verse 15. He says, "We who were Jews by nature or by birth and not sinners of the Gentiles." Do you see that? And not sinners of the Gentiles. I want you to notice this word "sinners." We need to understand how Paul's using this word because it's not only important here in this verse, but he does the same thing later in the passage. He's not using this word "sinners" in the sense that Scripture says that all men are sinners. The Scripture says that. And yet Paul's not using that word in that sense at this place. He's not saying that the Gentiles are sinners and the Jews are not sinners. He's not saying that. But he's using this word in a very limited legal sense. You see, Jews frequently called Gentiles sinners. It was a term that the Jews used. They referred to Gentiles as sinners. They referred to the Gentiles as sinners because the Gentiles had no law. They didn't have the law of God. They didn't live according to the law of God. They didn't have the law of God to help them live righteously. And because the Gentiles had no law, then they were constantly breaking God's law. And therefore, the Jews called them sinners. It was a common term. Instead of saying Gentiles, often they would say the sinners, referring to the Gentiles. Let me give you an example. Hold your place in Galatians 2 and turn to Luke chapter 7. The Gospel of Luke chapter 7. Let me show you a couple examples of how that word is used. Luke chapter 7, and look at verse 34. Luke chapter 7, verse 34. We see here in this statement by Jesus that the word is used in the same way. Luke 7:34.
Jesus says, "The Son of Man has come eating and drinking, and you say, 'Look, a glutton and a winebibber, a friend of tax collectors and sinners.'" You see that? Jesus was using it in the common way. Instead of saying a friend of tax collectors and Gentiles, he said a friend of tax collectors and sinners. That's how the Gentiles were referred to. Turn to Luke chapter 15. Luke chapter 15. And look at verses 1 and 2. Luke chapter 15, verses 1 and 2. Luke writes and he says, "Then all the tax collectors and the sinners drew near to him to hear him." There it is again. "And the Pharisees and the scribes complained, saying, 'This man receives sinners and eats with them.'" And so it's used in the same way there. So to the Jews, Gentiles were sinners in the sense that they neither knew nor kept the legal requirements of the Jewish ceremonial law. Now you need to keep this in mind, because if you don't know this, or if you don't keep this in mind, then you won't really understand what Paul's saying in the rest of this passage, and it's important. Now let's understand Paul's point. Go back to Galatians 2 and look at verse 16. Galatians chapter 2, verse 16. Paul says, "Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ." You know, this is one of those examples where you see this very clear statement, and yet to make sure that his listeners, those who were reading this passage, to make sure that they understand it, he says it again. And then to make sure that they understand it, he says it again. He says it several times, even in this statement. "Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Christ Jesus, that we might be justified by faith in Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law, no flesh shall be justified." Now let's understand this. Paul and Peter and the rest of the Jewish Christians were brought up as law-keeping Jews and not as law-neglecting Gentiles. But now, this statement that Paul makes, "But now both Paul and Peter have come to know that no one can gain a just standing before God on the basis of their efforts to keep the law." So Paul says now, verse 16, "Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ." Now, let me say it simple. It's like summarizing what he's saying. With or without the law, no person is saved who has not believed in Jesus Christ. With or without the law, you can't be saved without faith in Jesus Christ. Now, I'd like to land here for a moment, because we need to understand this term justified. I mean, we use the word. We talk about it. We've used it in worship. We talk about justification. We talk about being justified. Paul does in this passage. It's important because Paul says that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. Paul actually uses this word, or a form of this word, five times in this passage. And it's translated either justified or righteousness. Several times he uses it over and over in this passage. The basic term was originally used in a legal, judicial sense when a judge declared an accused person not guilty and righteous before the law. And that's why oftentimes if we ask someone, "Well, what does justification mean? What does it mean to be justified?" The simple answer is to be declared righteous by God. So that's how the term was used. And people understood that. We need to understand that. Folks, it's the opposite of being declared guilty and condemned. So throughout Scripture, justification refers then to God's declaring a sinner to be forgiven and righteous. It is the free and gracious act by God which declares a sinner right with himself. And therefore, the sinner is pardoned and forgiven and restored and accepted and righteous on the basis of nothing but trust in the person and the work of the God-man, Jesus Christ. That's what Paul's talking about in this passage. Now, sometimes people use a little definition that comes from the word justified. Have you heard that little definition? They say it means just as if I had never sinned. Well, that may be a good place to start in our thinking of what justification is, and it sounds nice and it's easy to remember. I would simply say to you, that's not enough. That may be a beginning point, but that's not enough, because justification is much more. Justification says, though I am terribly sinful, God forgives my sins and gives me righteousness. Let me give you a picture of that. Sometimes when I run my tiller through the garden and it's really, really dry, it raises a cloud of dust. And by the time I'm finished running that tiller through the garden, my hands and my legs and my arms and sometimes my face is just covered with dust and dirt. So I take a shower and I clean up. Now, I could walk in front of the mirror and I could say, it's just as if I've never been dirty. But that would not fully describe the power of the soap and the water. You see, I should look in the mirror and I should say, I was filthy, but now I'm clean. And folks, that's what justification is. That's justification. I was guilty, but now I'm forgiven and righteous in Christ Jesus. Now, look at our passage. Let's go back there. Let's understand this meaning of justification and how Paul uses it in the context of this passage. So what Paul was saying is that even though we, remember the we is Paul and Peter and Barnabas and the other Jewish Christians, although we are natural law-keeping Jews and not Gentile sinners, he says we all have been justified by faith in Jesus Christ. To say it another way, he says we have put our faith for salvation in Jesus. We have trusted Him and no other. We have ceased to hope in ourselves at all. We find no basis of justification in us. And by the works of the law, no flesh shall be justified. Brothers and sisters, what that means is this, that God has taken the whole affair in His own hands. God has done it all in Christ on the cross. God has sent the Son of God to die for our sins and to accomplish our justification without our help at Calvary. And for our justification, for our forgiveness, for our righteousness, Christ Jesus died in our place and was raised from the dead. And therefore, what Paul says here is that by the works of the law, no flesh shall be justified. Only, and I emphasize only, faith in Christ Jesus can bring a person the gracious gift of forgiveness and righteousness. Let me make it clear for our lives and for our world today. Any claim that salvation is through faith in Jesus Christ plus something else is false. It's a lie. It's a perversion of the gospel. What Paul's saying in this passage, what he's been saying actually throughout this book up to this point, is that there is no effective or acceptable human addition to Christ's work. Justification is by God's grace through faith alone in Jesus Christ. Folks, that's the true gospel. And that's what Paul's preaching. And that's what Paul's defending in this passage. Look at the second part of this passage. Paul explains the truth of justification by faith. Look at verse 17. He says, "But if while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves also are found sinners, is Christ therefore a minister of sin? Certainly not. For if I build again those things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor, for I through the law died to the law that I might live to God." Now, as I was studying this months and months and months ago, and I read through the passage, and I've read through Galatians many times, just a passing reading of this passage, frankly, if you don't really settle down and you look at this carefully, you're going to walk away saying, "What in the world did Paul say? What is he saying?" And especially this part of the passage. So we need to understand it, and we need to understand it in the context here. So here in verse 17, you can almost hear the argument by the Judaizers against Paul. It would go something like this. They would say, "Paul, by encouraging Jews to neglect the laws of God and to act like Gentile sinners, then you're making Christ the minister of sin. This is what you're doing, Paul." And Paul's answer, verse 17, "But if while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves also are found sinners, is Christ therefore a minister of sin? Certainly not." Now we look at these verses, and it's absolutely crucial that we see what Paul's admitting to and what he's denying in these verses. So he's admitting, first of all, that he and Peter and the other Jewish Christians are seeking justification not in works of the law, but in Christ. That's what they've done. And he's admitting, follow me now and get this, he's admitting that in doing this, they have become sinners. Now you have to stay with me. You have to understand what we've said before. He's admitting that in doing this, they become sinners. But remember, he's using this limited legal sense of being a sinner. Goes back to verse 15. Paul means that when a Jew trusts Christ for justification, he is free from the Jewish regulations, and he can eat with Gentile brothers and sisters. So in effect, what Paul was saying here is he has made himself like a Gentile. He's made himself like a Gentile sinner who is not under the law. See, it goes right back to verse 15. So Paul uses that term in the very limited sense as he continues here in the passage, and he admits to be like them. "I'm a sinner like the Gentiles. I'm no longer under the law. That's been done away with. I'm just like these Gentiles, and I'm not governed by the ceremonial laws anymore." And so he calls himself, or he links himself to being with the Gentiles or Gentile sinners. But then Paul denies strongly that this makes Christ an agent of sin. And why is that? Get this now, because it's not a sin to be a sinner in this sense. So Christ is not an agent of sin. It's not a sin to free yourself from the ceremonial Jewish laws in order to walk in love toward Gentile Christians. It's not a sin, folks, to stop depending on works. That's what he's saying. Christ is not the agent or the minister of sin. He's the agent or the minister of freedom. And that freedom is for God and for love for others. And so Paul's answer then is, yes, Christ frees us from the works of the law, and no, Christ is not a minister of sin. And then, verses 18 to 20, he continues. Verse 18, Paul says, "For if I build again those things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor." Now, what had Paul destroyed? What had he broken down? Well, it's clear Paul had torn down the law as a means of justification. And it's not that the law is bad. The law is good and righteous and holy. But Paul destroys the idea and the action that man can be justified by keeping the law or by doing good works. And brothers and sisters, this is the essence of legalism. Now, you hear that term thrown around a lot today. It has been for years. Here's what legalism is. Legalism is keeping the law or keeping regulations to be right with God. And see, Paul has put that aside. In essence, Paul has destroyed that. Paul has torn down the legalistic misuse of the law. He's saying that if he again builds up the law as a means for a right standing before God, then the very thing that he had destroyed through faith in Christ, he makes himself a transgressor. Here's what he's saying. That if he once again goes back to the law and trusts the law or keeping the law or doing good works to be justified before Christ, if he does that, then he has become a transgressor. Because he's turned his back on the grace of God and faith in Jesus Christ. That's what Paul's saying. Folks, that means that you're a transgressor if you twist the law to become a means of justification before God. And what really makes a person a true transgressor of the law is the horrible misuse of the law of God that turns it into a system of works or efforts to be righteous before God. And the transgression against God is to think or to act like your works or my works can bring us favor or righteousness before God, because they cannot and will not, and nor will they ever bring righteousness before God. Look at verse 19. He says, "For I through the law died to the law, that I might live to God." You see, the law actually showed Paul that he could not keep it. That's the purpose of the law. And therefore the law moved him to Christ. And through faith in Christ, he died to the law. Through faith in Christ, he lives to God. And folks, this verse then makes the amazing point that as long as you're trying to earn your way to God by your works, you cannot have a relationship with God. Let's make it personal. If you're trying to earn your way to a righteous standing before God, it won't happen. It can't happen. It doesn't work that way. You can't live to God. And actually, the closer you try to get to God by works or by the keeping of the law or ritual or ceremony or religion, the farther you move from God. Paul knew that to live for God and to have communion with God and to have God's power, one must die to the law. You see, folks, the old self loves to boast in its ability to work and keep the law, or to work and to keep regulations. That must die. So Paul died to the law. Paul died to the pathway of law keeping as a means
to be right with God. The only way to be right with God is by God's grace through faith in Jesus Christ. And so Paul's message to the Galatians then and to us today is this, that keeping the law or performing works is not the engine that drives us to a relationship with God. God's grace is. It's not our relation to the law or our good works that saves us. It's God's grace through Jesus Christ. Now, how does this happen? How did this work in Paul's life? How does this work in our lives? Look at verse 20, Galatians 2:20. Paul says, I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness comes through the law, then Christ died in vain. This statement is so important that we're going to look at it the next time that we meet, because Paul just brings this together with this final statement in this part of the passage, and we'll look at it in detail the next time that we look at Galatians. Paul helps us. Paul helps believers today to not get wrapped up in this self-effort and self-works in trying to be righteous before God. It doesn't work. Never has. Never will. Let's bow our heads right now. Father, again, we thank you for your word and thank you for the reminder of this great truth of justification by your grace through faith in Jesus. Father, we need it. I pray, Father, that we would not fall asleep in regards to this truth. I pray, Father, that our understanding of it would grow and be nourished by the Spirit through your word, and God, that it would move us to continue to live by faith and to be filled with gratitude and thankfulness for what you've done for us through Jesus Christ. Father, I pray if there's anyone here this morning who is trusting in themselves for righteousness, who's trying to keep laws, regulations to be righteous before you, I pray for the gracious work of your Spirit of opening their spiritual eyes and helping them to see that a relationship with you comes only by faith in Jesus Christ. Thank you, God, for this truth. We praise you. In the name of Jesus, amen.